This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Hello once again, Cougar Nation. For the first time in the 2025 BYU football season, welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our week one edition of Coordinator's Corner. It is our weekly conversation with the Cougars coordinating coaches, and we're so glad to have you with us for another year. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back on a solid month of training camp football and preview this week's season opener against Portland State as I visit with all three coordinators, Kelly Papinga from special teams, Jay Hill on defense, and Aaron Roderick on offense. And we start our season premiere with the coach who is entering his third season and his second stint on the BYU sidelines. He is in charge of the defensive ends and, of course, special teams. He is coach Kelly Papinga. Coach, great to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Football, it's here.
It's funny how quickly it seems to come up on us every year.
Oh, yeah. It's like we were talking about before. Time flies by when you're getting older and older. I don't know why it is, but that's how it's worked.
So it's also year three for BYU in the Big 12. And I wanted to see how, maybe from your perspective, how you've seen BYU progress from season to season as a power conference member.
Yeah, I just think for me, the main thing's been depth. I just think from the first year I was here in 2023, I thought it was similar to what it was when I was here previously when we were an independent team, maybe a little better depth. And then 24, I thought our depth got even better. I thought it was the deepest team we'd had. And I think this team's deeper than we were a year ago, which usually is a good indicator for a special teams coordinator, meaning you can go down to second or third string position guys and help you on special teams. And we don't have to use as many starters, even though we do like to use our starters, but maybe not as much as we need to in the past. But we'll find out as the season goes. But I just feel like the depth has really changed over the last couple years.
You also coached many seasons in the ACC, Power Conference with Virginia. How do you view the competition level in the Big 12 by comparison?
Yeah, very similar. I think just different styles of play. I think the style of play here in the Big 12 is a lot more physical than it was when I was in the ACC. Talented players all over the place, playing against Miami and Clemson. I think we see that same speed with the teams that we see in Texas. And so I think just looking at our roster comparable to the ACC rosters at Virginia to here, I actually think we're a little deeper than we were at Virginia at that time. But similar, I feel like we, usually you look at the linemen. That's what you usually compare about depth chart-wise, mm-hmm. at least for me, is just do the line look the part in our O-line and our D-line here look the part.
How do you look back on last season's 11-2 record at BYU?
Yeah, I just am excited of the things that we were able to do and what we're able to build on. We've set a really high standard. Going back to spring ball, that was the message to the guys, is the standard's been set of what special teams football should look like at BYU going forward. And so I'm excited to see the guys step up and do it even better this year. And I think they're hungry to be able to go out there and show, everybody, Cougar Nation, that it wasn't just a one-hit wonder in special teams. There's going to be a lot of good things to be seen this year, too, as well.
It was a record-setting year on special teams. Five special teams touchdowns in 2024, three on kickoffs, two on punt returns. First time in 13 years, BYU had both kickoff and punt return TDs in the same season. Scoring on special teams can be a straight-up game changer.
Yeah, it was, you look at this clip right here in the Colorado game. This is, the game's pretty tight right there. It's 10-0. And that opens up 17-0 going into the half right there. And I actually think we kicked a field goal to go up 20-0. But I just feel like the way that special teams, what I've been talking to our guys a lot about, just looking back to this season, that play right there, the momentum that changes games just mm-hmm. by one play that can happen by a big kick return or a big punt return or a block kick or a great cover on a punt or whatever it may be. Just the swing of a game that can change all of a sudden just because of one big special teams play. There could be a low in the offense, a low in the defense. Sometimes at Lavelle Stadium, you get, it kind of gets quiet and I'm like, all right, guys, it's time for us to make something happen here to, get this crowd back into the game. And I love how special teams brings everybody together, and it brings offensive guys with defensive guys, and now they can go on the field together and be able to show what our culture is all about and what Kalani's designed here at BYU.
It might have been show one last year when you felt like you said, I think this is probably going to be the year. We're going to take it to the house. And then you housed it five times.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought it would be five, but I was shooting if we could just get one on kick return, one on punt return. And then, you know, after the Kansas State game, we had gotten that goal done. And I went to the guys and I said, guys, let's do something that's never been done here at BYU. I don't know if we did that or not, if five was a record or not for a season. But I know it hadn't been done in a long time, at least from when I was a fan or, you know, coaching.
The last time with four was 1961.
Yeah.
So you got to go. If it ever was five, it was back in the days of, you know, your leather helmets almost.
Yeah. So, you know, I just am really excited about getting most of those guys back. You know, that's the thing too about the special teams unit is, you know, we lose Keelan to a transfer, which was unfortunate, and we're sad to see him go. But I do believe we have great returners that are ready to step up and take that role. And getting Parker back is a big deal. And I think most of our cover teams are back. Our whole entire punt team is back from a year ago, besides our shield. Those are our guys that protect. Batty's gone and John Nelson. But replacing those guys, I feel good about what we did in fall camp to get those guys ready. Sam is back, ready to punt. I feel like the nucleus and the core of the team is back. We're very veteran, which means hopefully we can go out there and put out some good results and help our team continue to progress.
So we hit the touchdown numbers, but BYU ranked top 15 in both kickoff return average and punt return average. Will Farron was top 5 in field goals per game and top 15 field goal percentage. BYU's top 50 net punt. BYU had 0 kicks or punts blocked, as I recall, as well. Let's not overlook that. So you had to be, clearly very pleased with all of your special teams units last year.
Yeah, I mean, Will had obviously an amazing year. And just seeing Will work in the offseason, I can just tell you right now that kid's more humble and hungry than anybody on our team to improve and get better. And so having him back and having Sam back as, you know, kicker and punter duo and, you know, having Sam as the holder helps Will out.
And know, occasionally a runner.
Yeah, flipping.
And occasionally a little flipper, yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting to just get those guys back. I remember getting here 2 years ago and just thinking we had a long way to go in our kick game. And not so much, you know, Jake Oldroyd's just coming off a, you know, fantastic career and he was leaving and Rico was here and he was great, but I just felt in our kick game, we didn't have a lot of great options at the time. And, you know, at the time, Will transfers in and has to compete and he beat some guys out in the spring ball and nobody really knew who he was going into that 23 season. And he had a good year that year, great year this past season. And so I know he's happy and excited to be back for another year to see what he can do.
Since we saw a couple there, how much fun for you and the guys is scheming up specials?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it gets the guys excited. It, you know, everybody wants to be the guy that the fake's going to or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, Kalani wants to be aggressive. And, you know, a lot of that's brought from Coach Hill when he was at Utah and when he was at Weber State. He ran a lot of this stuff and was successful with a lot of it. So I've learned a lot from him. And he's shown me, you know, different things and when to use them, when not to use them. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some point where it doesn't work like it did in 2023. And so hopefully the fans are like, oh, Coach Papinga, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. But that's a part of it. Some of them, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I think we prepare them enough to where our guys can execute them at a high level. And it's just the style of play that we want to play. We want to be aggressive. And I know that our guys get excited about it. And it helps. I think it helps increase the morale and the energy of the team when you do them.
You touched on this already, but a great thing for 2025 is most of the main players, as you said, are back, right? You got Will Farron, Sam Vanderhaar, Parker Kingston among the big names. But you are looking to replace a long snapper and a kickoff returner. But you got a great snapper from the Baylor program and Garrison Grimes, and you do like your kickoff return options this year.
Yeah. Garrison has been a great addition. We've been really excited to have him. You know, he's had a ton of experience at Baylor, was on a conference championship team there back in 2021, snapped for 3 years in a row. We played against him last year when we went down and played Baylor. Really good athlete, big body, one of the bigger, more athletic snappers in the country, probably one of the more highly touted NFL prospects at snapper. So great to have him back. And obviously he's a football guy with his dad being a coach and he's been great and he's fit right into our culture and just, you know, the experience he brings in, you know, Will and Sam having experience and now with Garrison having experience is just a very veteran group that's been through a lot of football. So that's fun. And then with the return game, everybody knows about Parker. You know, Cody Hagan is a kid that I think did a great job on special teams for us a year ago. Not many people probably recognize the tackles that he made and us being able to pin guys inside the 20-yard line in the punt game. He was a crucial part of that.
But now you're thinking about him as more.
And so now he's been looking really good at kick returner during fall camp. Don McKenzie is another guy that's looking really good at kick returner. And then we got guys at punt returner too as well behind Parker at Tiger.
He was a returner in both kickoff and punt at Stanford.
Tiger Bachmeier. So, you know, everybody's heard a lot about the brother, you know, the quarterback, but Tiger's a really good player, really good receiver. A try-hard guy. The thing that I love about him is he goes out there on every rep, and I mean, it doesn't matter if he's going out for a route or he's blocking or catching a punt or whatever it may be. I mean, this kid loves football, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the return game as well.
All right, it is a break time for the first time today, and as we step away, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review as they do a film breakdown ahead of Saturday's season opener. That's tomorrow, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. When we come back, we'll get the details on the defensive ends as Coach Papenga tells us about his position group heading into the 2025 season. Plus, we'll preview Portland State. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
JCW's, The Burger Boys, and Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papenga. In our first segment, we got his special teams perspective. Now we move into his position group, the defensive ends. You lose Tyler Batty and Isaiah Banya primarily from last season, but you return more than you lose. Highlighted by, I'll hit a few, Viliami Pouha, Logan Lutui, Bodie Schoonover, Orion Maile-Kafuse, Sonny Tuwala. You add Kendall Wall, Tausilia Kana, Hunter Clegg, among others. You've got some options on the edge.
Yeah, we're excited. We feel like Bodie and Ville, especially, that were here with us a year ago, and Logan, they did a great job of being role players to help with, you know, Isaiah and Batty, and Logan still played a lot. He played about as much as they did. So Logan's been a great mentor for a group that's very, very young. And so we got a bunch of recruits in. We got a bunch of couple transfers in. With Tausilia Kana and then Ephraim Asiata that's developed. And so
now is Asiata kind of a, can he do a little bit of hybrid, like almost like a quasi backer slash edge rusher?
He's kind of in the same mold as like Lasker and Jack Kelly, where you'll see him at backer sometimes. Sometimes you'll see him at defensive end. So it's a little hybrid position that our guys play. They go back and forth.
Just because he's a little smaller than typical edge lineman.
He was the most productive player throughout all fall camp. So we do a production board, and he came out as number one as fall camp ended. So very productive throughout fall camp, and he's a football player. So you'll see him. He'll be all over the field. I promise you that. He's a guy that Cougar Nation wants to make sure they keep an eye on. And then, you know, Hunter Clegg coming home off a mission, that was a guy that was going to the team up north, and then they did, you know, after the mission, decided to come down here. So it was good to get him, highly recruited kid that has, you know, gotten the two deep. And then Orion Maile-Kafuse, like you mentioned, a guy that's really worked hard coming home off of his mission. And then I mentioned Tausilia Kana. He's an electric edge rushing guy. Reminds me a lot of some of the guys that I've coached in the past, of just his fluidity, being able to not just rush off the edge, but drop into coverage. And then you got Bodie and Ville that are some of the bigger guys that will be on the inside and outside. They'll kind of go back and forth, kind of like what Batty did a year ago, where he'll be on the edge at times, and then sometimes they'll be on the inside. But we have really good depth. And so really the biggest issue is trying to get all these guys on the field, because I think they're all ready to play and they're all very talented. Now we just got to find ways to get them out there.
BYU's defense last year had some of the best numbers in the country without a ton of sacks or TFLs. And it comes down to more than just edge guys, obviously. But how motivated are you and that group to make make teams really work and worry on the outside? And is there too much focus on that? Or because BYU already showed you can have a great defense without racking up massive numbers there. Yeah. How do you look at it?
Well, you know, you just look at the Tarleton game this last week. I don't think they sacked. There were no sacks, right? So we were just talking about this, and they shut them out 42 to nothing, right? So I think sacks can be one of the statistics that fans like to get excited about, but it might be one of the most overrated stats that are out there, because you can play great defense without sacking the quarterback. But if you go back and you look at last season, it's not the lack of pressure on the quarterback, as you see in these pictures and these videos you're getting right here. We were getting a ton of pressure, but that was the reason why we also led the country in interceptions, is because the quarterback was getting rid of the ball maybe sooner than he wanted to, and throwing into coverage, and then our DBs did the rest. And so I think Tyler was one of the top five guys in the Big 12 in getting after the quarterback a year ago. Even though he wasn't getting sacks, he was getting quarterback hurries and quarterback pressures, top five in all of the Big 12. And so I think he was one of the top in the country the year before that. So it doesn't always come down to sacks, even though, trust me, I want to have 40 or 50 sacks. And that'd be great to break a school record. But at the end of the day, what matters to me is points. Can we keep points off the board? And if it is having a ton of sacks this year, that's what the recipe is, to have points off the board, then let's do it. If it's the interceptions like a year ago, then we'll do that. But I just know we have a slew of guys, maybe better than for sure over the past 2 years as depth goes. But even going back to my time here when Ziggy and Kyle and Bronson were all in the same room, this group might be as talented. Now, they're not as experienced yet as those guys were in 2012, but they are talented. And so now it's just being able to get them out on the field and have them do their thing, and excited to see them do that.
Let's return to special teams to showcase a standout from training camp right now. Who was your camp MVP on special teams?
Yeah, I'm going with a safety, Fale Satuwala. He did a great job. He showed up. He's a starter on every special teams right now, and just did an amazing job of stepping up as a blocker on kick return, punt return, can also go block punts for us, and then running down on kick and kickoff and punt. And so he's a really, really good player. He's going to play a lot for us at safety, but he was a standout for us as a whole entire team on all the phases.
All right, let's take a look at the week one opener for BYU. Portland State, they were home to Tarleton State on the weekend, and the Vikings were shut out at home, 42-0. The Texans of Tarleton State, they were ranked 10th coming into the game, and they just took care of business.
Yeah, good team. I thought Tarleton looked really good on defense, and so Portland State has some players. They got a good receiver. I think they have a good running back that's back from a year ago that was one of the top freshman FCS running backs in the country.
Alon Thompson.
And so I think they're just trying to find out who the quarterback is. You know, they've played three guys this last week, and so they got some talented guys. They have some guys that can do some things, one that can throw the ball, one that can run the ball. So I think they got to figure out really what they want to do. But they have, you know, unfortunately for them, we were going to see one of the top tight ends that we might have seen all year.
Tanner Beeman.
Yeah, but he had broken his foot or something happened.
Didn't play. So, yeah.
They got some guys. And, you know, Coach Hill goes back with this head coach. You know, their time's in the Big Sky together. And so he respects these guys, and he knows they're going to show up and play against us. And so we're going to have to come out and play really good football, and excited to see the guys get out there and do their thing.
Of course, BYU's never lost to an FCS team. The average scoring margin is pretty substantial. Portland State got smoked on Saturday. So what do you want your team's mindset to be when facing an overmatched opponent?
To me, it never comes down to who you're playing. It comes down to us being at our best, right? That's what it matters. It doesn't matter if we're playing Portland State or we're playing some high school team or we're playing Alabama, right? At the end of the day, we want to go out and play our best game of football, and so we want to put everything together. Our guys have worked extremely hard. They only get 12 guaranteed opportunities to play football all year long, and this is one of them. And so it'd be a shame for us to come out there and just lay an egg and not respect our opponent and respect this game of football. So I know our guys are extremely excited to play. They're sick and tired of hitting each
other. After a lot of this,
yeah,
yes.
They're sick and tired of hitting each other. They can't wait to hit somebody with a green helmet and jersey or whatever, but they're just excited to play somebody else besides, you know, their own teammates. And so you get to that point fall camp where everybody gets restless, and now these guys are ready to play.
And you're back at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, which is another big part of the equation.
Exciting to be back in front of the fans. It's going to be fun.
All right, Coach, great to have you back with us, and we will do it again soon.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, he is Coach Kelly Papinga. This Saturday afternoon, tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Mountain, as the Cougars open the 2025 season against Portland State. As we go to a break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill joins the show for the first time this season. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back after this.
This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW's The Burger Boys.
We welcome you back to our season debut of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly chat with the Cougs coordinating coaches. And on our first broadcast of every season, we hear from all three coordinators. We open the show with special teams coach Kelly Papinga. And now we reintroduce BYU's defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach, now in his third season in Provo. He is Coach Jay Hill. Coach, welcome back.
So good to be with you.
You played and were an assistant coach for another school in the state. Then you were the head coach at another different school in the state. But here we are in Cougar Nation. We can only think of you as a BYU guy now. 3 years into your tenure with Kalani, how does it feel to have another football family here at BYU?
Well, we absolutely love it here. Kalani's amazing to work for, does a great job with the program. The young men that we get to coach are just special. So it's been a great experience.
your second season as coordinator last year saw BYU put up some of the best numbers in all of college football. First in picks, third in pass efficiency defense, third in turnovers gained, 13th in total defense, 18th in scoring defense, and top 35 in rush yards per game allowed too. So just how satisfied were you with all your team did last season?
Well, I thought the players responded very, very well last year to so much of the adversity that we had faced from the first year that I was here at BYU. I thought one year more into the system, the players were just so much more prepared for what we were trying to get done. Statistically speaking, we had a very good year, and now we're in that spot where we just got to try to find ways each year to get better and better now.
So what kind of progression did you see from, if you could kind of nail it down, from year one to year two, and what's a reasonable expectation for improvement from two to three then?
Yeah, so I thought we were much better executing the scheme. I thought we were way better at just being able to throw the whole package at offenses that I don't really feel like we could do that the first year just because we weren't executing at a high enough level. I think as we continue to recruit to the position groups that we want and what we want those position groups to look like, we will continue to get better and better. Moving forward, I think we've had success. Last year was a successful year. I think this year we should be better. And next year we should be better. And we should continue to just get more and more ownership of what we're doing and be better and better at recruiting to what we want at each position group.
Since the numbers were so good last year, what's going to tell you we are better, whether it is numerical or not?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can improve. We can be way better on third down this year than we were last year. We can be better with our rush defense. We can be more dominant and just, instead of them getting, you know, 3-4 yard gains on first down, let's be a little more stout and stuff them for one or two. And I think that that's going to be the telltale sign of whether we're improving or not, is how dominant we look in how we're performing.
Okay. You do lose 6 starters from last season's group, but you bring back a lot of guys who got a lot of snaps last year.
We do. Yeah, I really like our linebacking core, you know, with Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasgow. Those guys have played a lot of football and are two of the best linebackers in the country. Our safety group is experienced. So I think that just in the groups that need to know the defense the best, we bring the most guys back. I think we're beefed up a little bit more inside this year. Our defensive tackle group's a little bigger than they were a year ago. But we lose some critical pieces now. It's not easy to replace a Tyler Batty, a John Nelson, Blake Mangelson, those guys that have played so much, and then a Jacob Robinson in the secondary. Those guys are really hard to replace. But, you know, made the best guy win and step up and play great this year.
You kind of hinted at it, but if there's a position group where you'd like some familiarity, whether it's Jack Kelly, who you've now had for multiple years, and Isaiah Glasgow, who you've had for multiple years, pretty nice to rely on this too, isn't it?
It is, because our scheme for the linebackers, there's a lot to know, and there's a lot of variations, and there's a lot of adjustments that those guys have to do. I think Coach Anna has done a phenomenal job getting those guys ready to play, but having some veteran guys back at that spot is critical.
You made a couple of big additions to your defensive line this offseason. Keanu Tanavasa from Utah, Justin Kirkland from Oklahoma State. One of those guys is good to go. We're probably going to have to wait a little bit to see the other, but those are two massive bring-ins for BYU.
I agree. I think those guys are great players. They fit what we want to get done inside. It adds some beef that we haven't really had for the last 2 years. So I'm excited to watch those guys play. I think they've both done a good job since they've been here. We get Kirkland back here in a couple weeks, and Keanu's ready to go.
He strikes a lot of people when you talk to him. I guess the words poise, maturity, kind of just jump to the forefront with Keanu. How do you describe him?
Oh, he's one of the best leaders I've been around ever. He knows how to rally the troops. He knows how to do things right. He knows how to be vocal. I really like just his personality, his love for the game. Those things all stand out when you get a chance to talk to him.
We talked with Coach Papinga about the DNs in the last segment. Of course, Tanuvasa, Kirkland, big names inside. We'd expect John Taumoepeau to start alongside Keanu in the meantime. But outside, who else do you like maybe see getting playing time amongst the tackles?
Well, I think JT's had just a phenomenal camp, and he's played as good as anybody in there. And so I'm excited to see how he does when the Bullets are live in a game and when he's playing many more snaps than he did last year. I think Vil Pulha is going to have a great year. That's inside, that's outside. Mm-hmm. He's got the ability to do both. Bodie Schoonover has played very well. So there's a lot of guys. I'm excited to see how they play come Saturday.
You play a lot of defensive linemen in games. Like you're going to rotate a bunch of guys.
We do, and a lot of them have some ability to play inside and outside, and same with our defensive end group. They have the ability to play defensive end and outside linebacker for us. So we have a little bit more variation that I think we can do this year with those guys.
If I could return a second to Glasgow and Kelly, I think they're probably two of the best handful of linebackers in the Big 12. And I mean, I'm clearly a little bit biased on this, but is it fair to say that that's as good a power conference duo at linebacker as there may be in the league?
I agree. I think as good as there is in the country. I'm pubbing that. I'm expecting them to play that way. When I see them, I'll look them right in the eye and tell them that that's the expectation for the year, is we expect those guys to play great. Both of them have made a ton of plays in their college careers. Jack's had a season where he had over 10 sacks, and if we let him come off the edge more, I think he can replicate that. And then Glasgow made all kinds of plays last year, sacking quarterbacks, creating turnovers. I think both those guys are going to have monster years.
The battle for the third linebacker spot's been a pretty good competition between Sialia Serra and Che Bryant Strother.
Yeah, I think both those guys are very talented. They both run good. They have experience in the defense now. I would expect those guys to play very well. And again, I think the games will tell if one guy's going to start getting a few more reps than the other guy. But right now, they both got to be ready to go, and I expect them both to play a lot. And I expect great things from them, because that's just the caliber of player those guys can be.
There will be other guys, but right now you've got four guys to play three, and you feel pretty good about right off the top.
I do, but like Ace Kafusi has had a really, really good camp. There's others that we can play. I mean, that whole group is pretty deep.
Miles Hall and Max Alford, you keep going, right?
You go down the list, and there's guys I don't worry about putting in the game. They've proven that they can be there. And those young guys, they're only going to continue to get better and better in the system as they get an opportunity to play. Ephraim Asiata's a guy that could play backer. He could play outside backer. He could play defensive end. He's a very dynamic guy that we expect great things from throughout his career at BYU.
We talked about him with Coach Papinga, and the word hybrid came to mind. He really is pretty versatile out there.
He is very versatile. You know, he's not real big right now as far as weight goes, but he plays so much bigger than he really is. I've never had a guy as light as he is be as physical and just as dominant as he is up front in the front seven.
All right. It is break time. When we come back, I'll look at Coach Hill's position group, the BYU safeties. Plus, we'll get his camp standouts and perspective on Portland State. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake. As the coach and a special guest, it's Chase Roberts tomorrow night. Help us get set for Saturday's season opener. Watch all season long on Tuesday nights at 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 Mountain on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, more with Coach Jay Hill. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Smith's, low prices, market fresh. And Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, chatting with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach, Jay Hill. Coach Hill and the Cougs 5 days away from their season opener with Portland State at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Well, your position group is the safety spot, one of the deepest spots on the team, happily. You lose very little from last season. You've got five solid veteran options right now in Tanner Wall, Raider DeMooney, Tommy Prassis, Faletau Satuala, and Talon Alfrey. It's a good group.
It's a very good group, and I love all five of them. I feel like either one of those guys can go in the game and make plays and run the defense the way I want it to be run. I mean, we kind of say those guys are the quarterbacks of the defense back there and help get everyone lined up and just make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. I love all those guys. I think they're going to have good years.
Defensive back in general, if we want to throw the corners into the mix as well, how do you feel about the secondary shaping up right now?
Well, I really like the way the safeties have played throughout camp. They've done so many good things. We're getting better with our disguises and just what we're asking them to do. The corner group, Maury Bamba and Evan Johnson, have really, really stepped up the last week. I love Trey Alexander. He's going to be a great player in this system. Jonathan Cabea, we don't expect to have for the first couple weeks, but we'll get him back soon. And then I think he's going to be a great player. So Anyway, bottom line, I think there's some youth and inexperience at corner, especially. Like I say, J. Rob took all the reps for the last 4 years at that position. And so someone needs to step up. I think those guys have made huge strides in becoming those guys.
You're into your final week of basically 4 weeks of football that preps you for the season and for Portland State. You've seen the campus schedule. I'm talking about it overall in college football, a training camp schedule evolve over the years. How do you like where BYU is right now with its prep plan when you play football in August?
Well, I like it. I think Kalani's done a good job of giving the strength coaches a bunch of freedom in the summer to really get the guys physically ready to go. I think we've stayed healthy through fall camp, which is a critical piece to success. And I think preparation-wise, as long as we're getting better each week, you know, we take game one, get better game two, get better game three, then we're going to be where we want to be. But we got to get better. We're not ready to go right now. And we will be, but we got to get better.
As someone who has been defending a Bear Bachmeyer-led offense during much of training camp and into this last week, what do you like about the freshman quarterback?
He's been very poised. You can tell he's doing what the coaches are asking him to do as far as going through his reads. He's done a great job of taking care of the football. For a freshman, against our complicated defensive scheme, I think he's done a great job of handling it.
You've got to be something special to come in and beat out guys with FBS reps as a true freshman.
Yeah, I mean, he's poised beyond his years for not having played a bunch of or any college football game reps. I think he just came in ready to go, much more prepared than most freshmen are at this stage.
All right, time now for your camp MVPs, Coach. Who really stood out to you over the last few weeks of football?
Well, this is hard for me because there's probably 20 guys I could say I think played very, very well, and 10 of them could be MVPs. But I'm going to go with Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. Those guys are just stalwart, big-time players that I thought had great camps.
Excellent. And those are two guys you like to be able to count on. You'd love to have them games 1 through 13 just ready to roll, answer the bell every week.
Well, they should be. And if they don't, I'm going to kick their butts because they're that kind of players. And we expect those guys to have great years, and I really believe they will.
All right, everything gets underway Saturday, Portland State in Provo. Let's preview the Vikings. It is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Portland State losing at home 42-0 to Tarleton State, number 10 Tarleton State in their opener. They put up 277 yards of offense, 108 rush, 169 pass. They used three quarterbacks in the game, one kind of a rushing specialist. They did throw three picks. Quarterback did rush for 50, the one that does run it. Not great on third down. Thoughts on what you saw from the Vikings on the weekend?
Well, it's weird when you see three different quarterbacks that play so differently. I think they're trying to get their feel for what they really want to be for this season. There were times in that game where they actually moved the ball well, and then they stalled out through some interceptions in the red zone.
Missed a couple of field goals as well.
Some field goals. Just some weird things where I thought they played better than, you know, being shut out. But we better expect a tough team coming in here. I've gone against Bruce Barnum many times, this head coach. He's a very tough guy. He does a good job of getting his team prepared. I would say they didn't play great in week one, but the biggest improvement is week one to week two, and they have that advantage on us.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend, and it's so good to be back with you in this studio. I look forward to an entire season with you. Thanks.
We can't wait. Go Cougs.
All right. Thanks, Coach. That is Coach Jay Hill. You can get ready for BYU and Portland State this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation's Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning 2 hours prior to kickoff at 6 Eastern, 4 Mountain Time on BYU TV. When we come back, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins the show as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this. It is our first show of the season with BYU's season opener coming up on Saturday versus Portland State. BYU also opened the 2017 season against the Vikings. BYU 19-0 all time against FCS opponents, by the way. We've hit on the BYU special teams and the defense so far today. Time to move over to the offensive side of the ball, and we do so with offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Coach, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Well, I'm sure you got to watch a little bit of live football on the weekend. Good to have the game back and be kicking off another year here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I watched every game that was on. So it was a great weekend of football. It's fun. It's just a great time of year.
General impression from 11-2 in 2024 as you look back on it.
Well, it was a great year. I mean, I feel like we answered a lot of questions from the year before. Our players showed a lot of resilience and toughness, and we pulled out some wins that maybe we shouldn't have won. And, you know, we were a few plays away from a couple more wins, and we were also a few plays away from being a 7 or 8 win team, too. It's just very, very competitive every week in the Big 12.
What were you most satisfied with last year, and in what areas would you like to see the most improvement from last year to this?
I was just pleased with how hard we competed every game, you know, and if we go out there and play as hard as we can every week, and you're always going to give yourself a chance if you just compete really hard. And so, you know, I thought that was just the thing that I remember most about that team was how hard they competed for all 4 quarters. And we definitely have to keep that identity of being a team that is tough and physical and is going to play every snap for 4 quarters.
Have you zeroed in on any things that you think you're going to be looking at as benchmarks for the year?
Well, we need to throw a higher completion percentage this year, and we need to improve. I thought our run game was really good last year in the second half of the season, and so we're looking to get off to a great start this year. We want to be able to run the football all 12 games, and we need to throw more completions. And of course, number one stat in offense in football games is taking care of the football. You know, if we can come out on the plus side of the turnover margin, you know, more weeks than not, we're going to win a lot of games.
It's your 5th season as BYU's OC. You've had a different starting quarterback to open each of the last 4 seasons. That's a challenge, but in a lot of ways, too, it's kind of more in line with the portal era, constant comings and goings.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd love to have, you know, love to have a guy be our starter for 2 or 3 years in a row. You know, we had that with Jaron there for a minute, but it is part of the deal now. There's a lot of coming and going, and at BYU, you know, we've done a good job retaining our team. We didn't lose very many players to the portal this year. I think we lost one player on offense that we really didn't want to, and everybody else, you know, was, you know, guys. Most of our players stayed. And so, at the quarterback position, though, it's a position that's in flux all the time now in this era.
It was in early May when Bear Bachmeier commits to play quarterback for BYU, transfers from Stanford. He was a player you would have loved to get out of high school. How did his commitment come together in the springtime?
Just, you know, as soon as we saw his name in the portal, we called him right away, and fortunately he picked up the phone. and then, you know, I was talking to him the next day, basically. You're right, he's a guy we really wanted out of high school, and so did everybody in the country. I mean, he's one of those guys that could have gone just about anywhere he wanted, and decided to go to Stanford to play with his brother.
So you did lose your senior starting quarterback just weeks before camp. What was the most important part of the process in getting your quarterback room, including that guy, ready for the year?
Well, just, you know, we have a process that we've gone through since I've been here. We did it with Tanner Mangum and Zach. We did it with Zach and Jaron, and then Zach and Jaron and Baylor, and then Jaron and Baylor, and then it was Slovis and Jake, and then last year with Jake and Gary. And it's really the same process we've done every year, and it's just, you know, we try to create a situation where the quarterbacks get a chance to compete with equal reps with the first and second team offenses, and then the whole team gets to watch the competition develop. And so by the time you're naming a starter, everybody on the team usually has already seen it happen in practice, and it's not news to anybody that's been at practice.
So when Bear transfers in, you don't expect him to be the starter in 2025. That wasn't the plan, but that's the way it turned out. Yeah. So how did he actually win the job and beat out a couple of guys who did have FBS starts under their belt and wins?
Well, just by throwing a lot of completions in practice, he took the best care of the football of the other quarterbacks, and had the most explosive plays and most big plays. And when you're throwing a lot of completions and producing big plays while taking care of the football, that's what it's all about. And so we just thought he did the best job of all those things. We didn't think it. We saw it. It happened.
Yeah.
It's not like a gut instinct thing. It's actual facts. It's, you know, we take
results.
Stats. Results, we stat every single thing that happens every day in practice, and we grade every decision they make, and Bear won the job.
Was it comforting for you to know that whoever won the job, the new guy, would have a lot of experienced help around him in this offense?
Yeah, that's a big thing now. Whoever's playing quarterback for us, we need 10 guys executing every play around him. And, you know, and that way we're talking a lot to our quarterbacks right now about just do your job, get the ball where it's supposed to go, and count on your teammates to be where they're supposed to be and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if we can get that done, we have a chance to be good.
It's Let's get a few words from you on each of your position groups around Bear Bachmeier. Let's start with the offensive line. A lot of good reps back there.
Yeah, we have some, you know, there's definitely some change there. We lost a couple good players. Our two tackles last year played really good football for us, Caleb Etienne and Braden Keim. Jada did some good things for us last season, so we're excited to have him back. And then we've got Gentry playing right tackle now, and he's doing good things in camp and did a good job at Michigan. So, you know, that's a big change there.
You got returning starts in Moccasini and Mitchell and Leos and Liuso as well.
Yeah, and Waylon, you know, expect to get him back soon. So there's that.
So no Waylon for the openers, what you're saying?
Probably not. Yeah, those inside guys though have played a lot of football and are very versatile. Leosa can play guard and tackle, so we've got some good variation there. If we have injuries or anything, we can work with that group.
LJ Martin, Sione Moa headline your running back room.
Yeah, two very good football players. LJ is awesome. He's a really good player, super smart, good receiver. We know he's a great runner, and so is Sione. And Sione is a three skill back. He can run the ball, he can catch it out of the backfield, and he's a very good blocker. And so we're super excited about both those guys.
Jovessa DeMooney, Enoch Navahine. We thought of Preston Rex, I think, last as a safety, but he's now a running back and a pretty good one.
Yeah, Preston Rex was one of the surprises of fall camp. He's going to help us this year.
All right, time again for a break. As we step away, we remind you that for your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play, tune to BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan, weekdays noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up on our final segment of this week's season premiere, we'll look at the receiving options to open the year for Coach Roderick as we get his training camp MVP as well. The Coordinator's Corner brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys. Stay with us. Corner brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We're into our final segment of our season premiere with offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. You left off last segment looking at the offensive position groups, hit quarterbacks, running backs, offensive line. Let's look now at the pass catchers you've got coming back.
JoJo, Parker, and Chase are three starters. And, you know, those guys all played a lot of football last year. Obviously, Chase had a great year, and then you saw, as the year went on, you saw Parker and JoJo really emerge. We know Parker's a great return guy, too. And then Cody Hagan and Tiger Bachmeier, you'll see a lot of those guys, I think, this year. And Tay Nakua and Reggie Frischnecker, two guys that are kind of coming along as well. They're going to help us at some point this year as well.
Okay, let's go to tight ends then, and a great addition for BYU in a Carson Ryan. Before he was at Utah, he was at UCLA. He's 6'4", 250, and he is one of those do-it-all tight ends you love to have on your roster.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's even better than I thought. You know, we saw him on film at UCLA a lot, and then last year at Utah, and knew he was a good player, but having him in our program, and you see all the little things he does every day, you gain an appreciation pretty quickly just for how savvy he is. I would say he's the first every down player we've had at tight end here for a while. It's, I think, maybe Isaac Rex pre-broken leg, you know, before he had the devastating injury. But, you know, we've been kind of tight end by committee the last few years, just piecing it together. And it's nice to have a guy that can just play every snap. He can play in the run game, in the passing game. He's a good route runner. Gets separation out of his breaks and is a really good receiver. So I expect him to have a very good year.
Some other tight end names back in the day. Spencer Need was here. I think it's his nephew, Kian.
Yeah.
Right? That's a tight end for you.
Yeah, Kian's our number two guy right now, and he's a very physical, big physical guy. Also a good receiver. He can run and catch the ball well, but where he is a physical guy, and he's really brought something to our run game. And then there's some other guys there, you know, Moyaki, he'll get in there. I might forget some.
Ethan Erickson, Anthony Olson.
Ethan Erickson will play. He did a great job for us last year. And if he can stay healthy, then he's a very good football player. I mean, I've had my fingers crossed for him for a couple of years now, just battling through some tough stuff. But when he's healthy, he's one of our best players.
How important is the tight end to an Aaron Roderick offense when it's going the way you want it to go?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you want to tight ends make a huge difference. You need those guys that can block in the run game and get open in the passing game. If tight ends that only do one or the other, it gets kind of hard. You know, it gets kind of hard to move the football. But, you know, the ball goes to our best players. And so, you know, whoever the best players are that can make plays, that's where the ball is going to go. And so it's nice having some options, you know, in Carson and Ethan, you know, these guys that can do both. I think it's going to make a big difference.
All right. You've been in Portland State prep for a few days now, but looking back on training camp, as it were, who impressed you enough to be named camp MVPs on offense?
Well, LJ, I mean, he's a standout. He's always been a good player, but you can just see that he's taken his game to another level this year. It's starting with just what great shape he's in. You know, he lost some weight, he trimmed up, and he's still, you know, looks great out there. And I would say he's faster than he's ever been, and he's just playing fast. You can tell the game's really slowed down for him because he's played so much football. And then Chase as well. I think Chase is kind of taking his game another level too. Those two guys have just played so much football now. You can tell that they already know. They're anticipating what's going to happen, you know, pre-snap and just kind of one step ahead of the opponent.
Portland State, looking to your opener, they lose at home to a top 10 FCS foe, Tarleton State, 42-0 on Saturday. The Vikings allowed more than 450 yards of offense. Tarleton State averaged more than 7 yards per play. They ran the ball for 300-plus. So thoughts on what you saw from the Vikings defense and what Tarleton State was able to do on the weekend?
Yeah, Tarleton's a good team, they're a top 10 FCS team, and you can tell on the film they have good football players on that roster, and you know this game is really just about trying to play as cleanly as we can. We want to take care of the football. We don't want to have silly penalties. You know, a lot of first games. If you watch the games this weekend, lots of balls on the ground, ball handling issues. Formation penalties, just, you know, we want to play clean football, and we want to have a healthy respect for every opponent we play, and we're going to treat every opponent the same.
Because it's a freshman quarterback getting his first start, and because a team ran the ball really well against Portland State, is it oversimplifying to say let's explore that until they stop it and make it easy on Bear, or you just go run your offense?
Well, we're going to do that every game. So, you know, we want to run the football every week because we're at our best. When we have a physical run game, that sets up our play action pass. And we're a team that wants to throw the ball down the field. And play action doesn't work very well if you haven't established your run game. So, you know, we want to be balanced. We're going to do both. We're going to run and throw for sure every week. But everything in our offense starts with being physical in the run game.
Regardless of the score, the number of points you do score on Saturday, what will be your standard of performance for your offense against Portland State?
Well, like I said, I just want to play clean football. You know, I think if we take care of the ball and we can get lined up and execute without hurting ourselves with penalties and, you know, some of those week one things that you see in a lot of teams, I think if we take care of those things, then at the end of the day, we'll be happy with the result. Whatever the score ends up being, we'll be happy with it. Just play clean ball.
It's great to be opening every season, but to do it at home, let's get back to Lavelle and have this thing get it going.
Yeah, we love playing in front of our fans. You know, we get a great lift from them, and we're excited to be – can't wait to be back out there. It's a special place.
Welcome back, Coach Roderick. Good to have you here. We'll do it all season, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks.
All right. That is Coach Aaron Roderick, and that will do it for week one of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Kelly Papinga, Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick, and our entire crew, my name is Greg Grubel, saying we'll see you next week on the Coordinator's Corner at noon Mountain Time, right here on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. Go Cougs!